Welcome to eClad Chat. eClad Chat. Streaming live to you from eClad's hidden gem in Midtown Manhattan. eClad Chat is down-to-earth broadcasting on big city events and the events industry, as well as fashion, jewelry, accessories, and lifestyle coverage in an intimate NYC way. Join us each and every Wednesday with host Casey Benane as we chat up industry happenings, industry news, and perform live interviews with industry talents here on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Interested in contacting us or interested in attending one of our live shows? Email us at y-cladchat@y-clad.com. eClad Chat begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello everyone, I'm Casey Benane.
And I'm Kayla Burke.
And welcome to eClad Chat, where we chat up big city events, fill you in on industry news, keep you in the know with fashion and style, with a focus on jewels and accessories, touch on lifestyle education, and keep you abreast of industry content that will develop both your personal and professional lives. And on today's show, we have singer, performer, and what else is she
doing?
An actress. Oh my gosh, I don't know why that went, but we have Sarah Murdoch today, and we're going to be talking to her about all she has going on and the performances that she does here in New York City. But in the meantime, Kaylin is going to take us through today's promotions, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, so for the month of August only, eClad's Hidden Gem is having a promotion that is 1 free hour of setup. So if you have an event and you're worried about, you know, setting up and that extra cost of setting up, basically, you can get it for free with this month's promotion. All you have to do is call us at 212-644-6445. Mention you heard this on the show, and you get your free hour for setup.
Yeah, it's a great deal. It's worth it. Yeah. And, you know, why not? Okay, so we are so excited today. We are going to be speaking with Sarah Murdoch. Sarah is a singer, actress, and a performer right here in New York City. She performs and sings folk music and
bluegrass music, Appalachian music, like basically storytelling music.
Yeah.
Which is super fun.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be an amazing interview, and so let's get started. Today. We're so excited that you're here to talk to us about all the things that you have going on.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It's very nice.
Okay, so we like to start every show with something sort of personal or fun, like a fun fact about who Sarah Murdoch is, and like, you know, something, what you like to do for fun, basically.
Oh, what I like to do for fun?
Mm-hmm.
I love spending time with my cat. I have this really great cat that I adopted from the ASPCA a few months ago, and I just love to spend time with her. I'm a crazy cat lady, basically.
You know what's so funny? It has nothing to do with nothing, but I just, you know what, I know two other redheads. This mm-hmm. Sounds crazy, but I do. I know two other redheads. Not that there's only like, but anyway, and they are cat people too. And I thought that, so when you said that like that, like I went, mm-hmm. This is so crazy. Like it seems like redheads are just like cat people.
I don't know why that was
kind of random. I know, folks, it was kind of random.
We had a dog lady on the show a few weeks ago too.
Was she redhead?
No.
See,
I think that the evidence bears out then, you know, if she was not a redhead and she was also not a cat
Since
person.
Sarah, now we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was so weird. I know. Okay, so let's move on.
Okay, so you're a performer, actress, mm-hmm. and singer. So tell our listeners a little bit about your background and how you got to basically be like a triple threat.
I know.
What I always tell people is that when I was younger, I really loved the movie The Lion King. It was my favorite movie, and I had memorized the entire thing, and I would just perform it at random, like, the whole thing. Like, I would start in the middle of the grocery store while my mom was shopping, and I'd just, like, start out with The Circle of Life, and I'd keep going.
Oh.
my poor mother. And so eventually, like, after, you know, like a year or whatever of me doing this, she talked to my great aunt Susan, who is very involved in children's theater, and she suggested that my mom sign me up for some classes with the local place called the Pennsylvania Youth Theater. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing shows with them, and I really loved it. And then I went to a performing arts charter high school in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and then got a BFA in acting. And as part of all of that, did a lot of dance and voice lessons growing up. So I
very active.
Yeah, very active. And I'm really lucky. I consider myself really lucky that my parents were so supportive, and that my parents, you know, even today, like finding out that I'm doing all these concerts and everything, they're like, "Oh, that's so great. We're so proud of you. You should continue doing this. Just keep on singing."
Yeah.
I have some friends whose parents are sort of like, "When are you gonna get a real job and settle down?" So I'm always really grateful that my parents are so very supportive.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I think too, just to kind of piggyback on what you were saying, like mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, when it comes to that, when it comes to the more artistic, you yeah. know, mm-hmm. Industries, you know, people think that they're not like realistic jobs you know, they're not, I guess, financially as lucrative mm-hmm. as, you know, most other jobs, I guess.
Yeah,
I
mean, or even, like, necessary. Like,
right,
it's,
right,
it's
right.
so funny to me how people will be like, "Oh, but what you do isn't really a necessary mm-hmm. thing." And I sort of think about the fact that, well, art influences every part of our lives.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you guys know, because you know of all the jewelry and everything, mm-hmm. and the fact that you design your own stuff.
Yeah.
Like, everything is designed, everything has been created or trickled down from, you know, whether it's architecture or interior design or fashion or anything like that. We're informed by so many things
mm-hmm.
that just influence our daily lives. And so when people say, "Oh yeah, art doesn't really matter," I'm like, except that it does.
Yeah, you know? It impacts us every
day. Especially in New York City.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's like the cornerstone of, like, you know, tourism.
Yeah. Yeah.
New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, no, yeah. I have to agree. Okay, so tell us, you know, so you're sort of cemented in your career right now. Mm-hmm. Tell us what your genre or your style of music is.
Right. Well, I do a lot of things pretty much under the folk music mm-hmm. umbrella, like traditional folk music. Mm-hmm. Like I do some blues. I do some Scots Gaelic music, actually. English ballads, mm-hmm. so just, and bluegrass, Appalachian ballads. One of my favorite things to sing is murder ballads.
Oh my gosh.
I know. People are always like, "Wait, what?" Yeah.
When I hear that, I think I know what it is. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
So it's sort of like, you know, it's almost like acting, but singing about a murder scene or like a crime or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 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 pretty much.
But I think it's also sort of like acted out in terms of like the, I don't know how to explain it
in the performance
yeah. of it, so to speak, right?
Well, I don't act it out. I mean, there is a tradition within traditional folk music of acting out mm-hmm. songs, and a lot of times people will do murder
yeah.
ballads. I don't. But yeah, it's just in the traditional sense, a ballad is a song that tells a story, mm-hmm. and some murder ballads are about a murder, either made up or a lot of times based on real crime.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little bit morbid, so I find them fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't know. People are always telling me that I need to sing about happier things, but mm-hmm. I really like singing songs about things that are sad, because I don't know, there's a lot of pain in the world, and I find a lot of comfort in the fact that other people have gone through that and other people have written about it, and that there is this whole tradition of music where it's like, yes, the world can be a terrible place, but we can all deal with it in a shared way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to your music, and, you know, you have such a sultry, like, you have such a beautiful voice that even if you're singing about death, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like there's singers and then there's singers, you know what I mean? And I feel like when you can really belt or you can really sing, I don't think it really matters what you're singing about, because it just sort of comes across beautifully in any way.
Right.
You know, and that's the feel I get from, like, you know, listening to, there is a sort of morbidity to it. Like, I could feel that, but it's like you could get past that because you hear the voice and it's like, wow.
Also, like, any, like, murder ballads that our listeners might know, I'm sure they're curious of, like, a song.
Yeah, right?
I mean, one that I really love to sing is called Pretty Polly, mm-hmm. and that is an Appalachian murder ballad that's descended from an English murder ballad that I think was based on a true crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an English murder ballad first, and then it migrated over, you know, along with the immigrants immigrants into the Appalachians, and then it shortened and got a little bit of a different tune and became something else. Mm-hmm. But I really like Pretty Polly. There's, you know, some really great, a lot of people have done Pretty Polly. Another one that I'm learning is Darling Corey. That's a great one as well. Now I'm drawing a blank on other ones. But those two.
Should listen to some of those if they want to know more.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And maybe we could even post, because I know you sent us a little snippet of the piece that you sent me, what song is that?
I think that what I sent you was St. James Infirmary Blues.
Okay, so maybe we can sort of attach it. If you're okay with that, like when we're earrings, mm-hmm. we can sort of attach it.
A little snippet, so there's some context.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, so I know that you're like, you know, doing a lot of performances or singing, you know, acts here in New York City. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that and tell us about like some of the cool places that you're, you know, performing at, that mm-hmm. kind of thing?
Yeah, well, I've done a few gigs now at Parkside Lounge, which has been really great. I love the fact that Parkside Lounge, the front bar section of it feels really divey, mm-hmm. and then you walk through this doorway and then there's like this little cabaret room with a little stage and everything. You can kind of imagine like, I don't know, like some lady in glittery red dress just like dancing around back there.
Yeah.
At least that's what I think every time I go back.
So you're going to be performing there?
I'm going to be performing there August 12th.
Cool.
It's going to be the next time that I'm going to be there. I believe at 9 p.m. is the next show.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. I've also sing a lot at Jimmy's Number 43. I did a concert there, but I'm involved with a folk singing, open sing, known as Exceedingly Good Song Night, and they sing a lot at Jimmy's Number 43, mm-hmm. and now at Jalopy down in Brooklyn. And that's really how I got back into folk music, because I was into it in high school, and then I went to college, and people were like, God, you are so weird, we can't handle it. And I was like, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was like, nobody else likes this music, so I guess it's just like my weird thing. And then I started taking class with this guy named Ken Schatz, he hosts it, and he invited me to go, and I got plugged back into this whole community of people in New York and, you know, also Massachusetts and all across the country who really enjoy this kind of music and share songs and are all about educating people.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love folk music. I love the like story.
Yeah.
I like the sound of it too. Mm-hmm. I like indie folk is what I'm super into.
Oh, yeah.
What's an example of that? I don't know if I've...
Nothing you'd have heard of.
Right. Thank you. Yes. Again, folks, we have established that Kaylin is the cooler of the two of us. I know.
She doesn't even know One Direction songs.
I don't know any of One Direction songs either.
You guys share that. Okay, so are there any projects or collaborations coming up that you're really excited about, you want to let our listeners know about?
I'm really excited about the people I'm going to be collaborating with for my next concert, because I love to have people come and perform with me as well. So Elise Yulo is going to play the guitar. She's a really talented guitarist and does some really good covers of things, but also writes her own material. Mm-hmm. So she's going to do a little set. And then Mike Tedesco is somebody that I met through a couple of mutual friends, and he plays the piano, really talented, and he's also a singer-songwriter, but he's going to play some stuff with me, so we might collaborate on, like, I don't know, a duet or something, which could be fun.
So tell us, what inspires you? So, you know, you have this really cool story, mm-hmm. and you're involved in, like, what sounds like a lot of fun. So, like, what inspires you to continue to do this?
I think... other people really inspire me. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when I'm researching music and researching the songs and learning about them and listening to different recordings of people singing them and how different they can be, mm-hmm. I find that really inspiring, because it's like, wow, you know, even though this song was written, you know, a couple hundred years ago, whatever, it's not stagnant, because look at the many different things that people have gotten out of it. And so that, to me, is like, one, it inspires my imagination, mm-hmm. and how I can, what I could bring to this song, like what I can bring that's different. And then the other thing is that it makes me think that this whole singing tradition does still have something to offer to people, mm-hmm. you know, that these stories are so universal that they're still able to impact us and make us feel things, which is, you know, what I want from my music. I want people to leave having felt something, having been moved in some way.
Of course.
Or just like having had a fun time, you know? Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. So that kind of ties in with our next question, like what you want your contribution to music to be.
Yeah.
Basically answered it.
That's basically it. Yeah, I want people to have felt something. Because I love music. I don't know if you guys would know that.
Well, I think we kind of know. Did you pick that up?
But I mean, like, you know, everybody goes through hard times in their life, but I've found that music can really help me no matter what kind of mood I'm in. You know, like whether I'm feeling happy and I'm like putting on my makeup and getting ready to go out, or like if I'm having a really hard day and I want something to pick me up or something that I can just like completely wallow in the feeling for. Yeah. I find that music is one of the best things to feel whatever it is that I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, something about somebody else being able to express themselves through sound helps me to be able to express my own feelings.
Yeah.
In a transitive way. And so if I could ever do that for somebody else, I would feel very proud of myself to be able to help somebody else process whatever it is that they're going through that day, whether it's a good day or a bad day.
Yeah, and I feel like, just going off what you're saying, music is so transcending.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just transcends. I feel like... Mm-hmm. If not everyone, most of everyone.
Yeah, music for every situation.
Right. Right, and most of us can relate to something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, and you know, depending again, you know, on whatever it is that you're going through at the time, I'm sure that there's something out there for you to help you through that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think music is great for that.
Yeah. So if there are people who are looking to be a singer or an actor or actress, do you have any advice for how to pursue that and what they should, the steps they should take?
Yeah, I think that finding ways to create your own opportunities is a really good thing to do. Because there are a lot of people who might tell you that you can't do things. Like, I had people who tell me that I couldn't sing because I didn't have a musical theater sound. And so I actually had somebody say to me, if you don't do musical theater, then you can't sing. And that was really hurtful and kind of turned me off of singing for a little bit. But, you know, just like producing these concerts and getting involved with it and like finding ways that I can say, oh, I want to do this. You know, nobody's going to ask me. Nobody's going to be like, Sarah, you know, you've never performed before. Come and sing at our club. Like, nobody's going to do that. Okay. So like creating the opportunities for myself has like really helped my confidence and really helped me to find what my voice is and where it is that I fit within the music community. Just figure out what you can do to make it happen for yourself.
Are there like sort of outlets for that kind of thing? Like, I don't know, you know, just for like maybe people that are listening that are interested in, you know, doing music. Like, I'm not sure, you know, is there something out there where, like you just said, you know, kind of you need to figure out what it is that, you know, where you fit.
Yeah.
What if you don't know? Like, I feel like, you know, even in my industry or any industry, sometimes there's like, everyone has a niche and there's like different areas to something, right?
Right.
But what if you don't know how to sort of like, you know, reach that? Like, is there like an outlet or is there some place that people, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, that reminds me of something that Miles Davis is quoted as saying, is that sometimes it takes a long time to sound like yourself, which I think about sometimes. I find that that's something I find inspiring is you know, Miles Davis. And I think trying to find people who have similar interests to you. Like, if you're listening and you're in the New York area and you do like folk music, then I would say definitely come to Exceedingly Good Song Night because people there are very supportive and they believe that everybody can sing. You know, it's not like, oh, you don't sound like so-and-so or you don't have the perfect vibrato or whatever, so you can't sing. You know, you're not technically trained, so you can't sing.
Right.
It's like, if you can speak, then you can sing, and that's what people there in that group were always saying. So it's if you're frightened of public singing, I used to be terrified of singing in public. I used to have so much anxiety. And being involved with that group and like singing once or twice a month in front of people really helped with that. So I would say definitely try to find some place where you can just start doing whatever it is that you want to do, whether it's like a class or a group of people or just inviting your friends over to your apartment and having like a little artistic
session
thing
or something.
Artistic session. It's like, just figure out how to start doing it.
In the city there's so many open mics too.
There's
tons of stuff. I mean, I think there's like so many styles that are getting popular now. Like, if you listen to even like the top 40, no one has the same voice anymore. They all have like, you know, different types of voices.
Yeah, I like that though. Because there was a point I felt like we were going through where like everyone sounded like everyone. Maybe it's just maybe it's age. I don't know. But like for me, I was like, wait, who's? And they all just like it, you know, the music was starting to all start sound the same, and the voices all sound. And I feel like now we're sort of transitioning out a little bit. Yeah. And I like that. Mm-hmm. I prefer that everyone sound like themselves.
Yeah,
do their own thing. You know. Okay, so this part of the show, we kind of, like, we have a series of questions we ask all of our guests.
Okay.
And so it's the most important part to our show. No, I'm kidding. okay, so the first question is, what's the most memorable event that you've ever attended and why?
Oh, God. You sent me these ahead of time.
Yeah.
I don't know if people listening know that, but I got to that question and I was literally like, I don't remember.
You'll be a first. Every week we have a first for something. I feel like it's just like something there. No, it's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess that there are so many things. I'm like, well, if it was, I just have a hard time picking favorites. I think that's why I sing so many styles of music, because I'm like, oh, but I like this, but I also like that, and I also like this thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like thinking, and I'm like, well, I could say it's the time that, you know, I went to England, or I could say it's the time that I graduated from high school or from college, and it's just like there's too many choices. I'm overwhelmed.
It's okay. We'll go with, you know what, your whole life is just great. Okay, it's one great big great big event. So we'll leave it as that.
There you go.
And do you have any like jewelry or accessory essentials that you think every woman should wear? Maybe like three that you shouldn't leave the house without, or that you are always wearing?
Yeah, I think that you should always wear something that makes you happy, always wear something that makes you feel confident, and always wear something that makes you feel like you. Like, no matter what those things are, but I think that if you,
I like that too, compared to
specific items, because everyone's different.
And, you know, I don't want to be, like, always wear a necklace, because I don't always wear a necklace, you know, even though I really enjoy them.
You know, it's funny, because people will say things like that, but then they're not wearing it. Like, you know, like, I'm not going to call anyone out, but, you know, they will say, you know, a woman shouldn't leave the house without earrings, and then they're not wearing earrings that day, and it's like, okay. I'm not calling anyone out. Okay, so are you a lipstick or a lip gloss girl?
I'm definitely a lipstick girl.
Yeah?
Yeah, whenever I wear lip gloss, my hair just goes straight for it. It just gets stuck in there, and then I feel like it gets all over my face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like a good tube of red lipstick. Red is my go-to color.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll take it.
Are you a lip gloss person?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. But you're part of the Kaylin crew. It's actually, she likes both.
I like both. Yeah. So. Okay. No wrong answers in my book.
Yeah.
Again, finally, share your social handles if anyone wants to check out what you're doing, what's next for you, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Sarah G. Murdoch on Instagram and on Twitter. And if you follow me on Instagram, there I post lots of pictures of my cat doing cute things.
Oh, awesome.
So if you're a cat person and you like little kitties, just follow, and I'm just always posting about
her. I swear there is a thing with redheads and cats, and I'm gonna research this. I'm gonna find out what it is, and I hope this is not like insulting. I don't mean it insulting in any way. I just think it's cute. I just feel like everyone that I know that's a redhead love cats.
I can think of my cousin in my family who is also a redhead, also has cats.
Right?
Yeah. I have a friend who's a redhead
who
has
cats. People, it's a thing, I swear. I didn't make it up. I'm gonna research it. I'm gonna have more answers about this. I'm sorry. Go ahead. So you were telling us about your social handle.
Yeah, Sarah G. Murdoch, Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome.
Cool. So just one more time before we actually let you go, just tell us where, you know, people can find you. Mm-hmm. I know you talked about an event that's coming up. Just won't just repeat it one more time. So, you know, for listeners that
want to the next event is going to be Parkside Lounge on August 12th. And Elise Yulu and Mike Tedesco will be playing with me. It's going to be great.
Yay! Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll come back again, and we'll talk some more cat stuff. I'll have like the whole like science behind
it. Like a chart and flows. Yeah.
Okay, good. So we've established that. Okay, guys, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we will have the designer feature, event, and news for the day.
Engage in style and perform in elegance at eClad's Hidden Gem Gallery and Event Space. eClad's Hidden Gem is an 1,100 square foot venue in Manhattan's premier Midtown East neighborhood that blends both contemporary style and elegance to create a sophisticated events venue. eClad's Hidden Gem provides an intimate, luxurious, and exquisite setting. It hosts everything from cocktail receptions, bridal showers and parties, to pop-up shops and product launches, art shows, photo and video shoots, and corporate style conferences conferences, seminars, and presentations at an affordable price. eClad's Hidden Gem is located at 122 East 57th Street, New York City, 10022. If you're looking for a beautiful yet affordable venue for hire, then eClad's Hidden Gem is your venue of choice. Head over to y-cladshiddengem.com, email us at hiddengem@y-clad.com, or simply give us a call at 212-644-6445 and rent eClad's Hidden Gem today. Make it what you want. eClad's Hidden Gem.
We are back with the designer feature of the day, which is the Silver Leaves necklace by designer Sarah Cavender, and Casey has worn it throughout the show, and I had not seen this piece before today. I really love it. It's super fun. It is an 18-inch drop long barrel chain necklace with mesh sleeves, and so it's the barrel chain is from 5 to 8 inches, and the necklace is silver, and the leaves are silver with charcoal edges. So a nice, fun piece. Oh, the edges are charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a cute little detail, because like from afar, you can still see it.
Yeah. It's almost like, what do they call it when you do the nail thing at the...
Oh, like ombre.
Ombre, exactly.
Totally, the leaves are totally ombre.
Yes.
So statement piece, but also classic, you know, with the silver.
Yeah, and then what's also cool about this piece, and why it's like one of my favorites, is because it's reversible.
Oh.
So because this particular necklace, it has the extension in the back, mm-hmm. and so you can extend it, wear it backwards, and if you're wearing a deep V in the back, you can have this. It's so sexy. It's beautiful like that. Like, you know, I prefer it on the back than I do in the front.
Yeah, it's really in style right now,
yeah.
too, is wearing like the back necklaces.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it can go both ways.
That's super cool. So if you're looking for a necklace to go with a low back dress,
yeah,
this is it.
And it's multifunctional.
eClad.com, handcrafted as always.
Yes, go get it, guys, today. Yeah. Okay, guys, so we're going to jump right into the news for today. And so in today's news, National Retail Federation, or the NRF, said that retail sales for 2016 are now expected to grow 3.4% over last year's projection of 3.1% for this year. So last year, I kind of said that a little backwards. What I mean to say is that last year they projected that for this year, for 2016 year, it would be a 3.1% grow or increase. But instead they're noticing that things are slowly rising, or it's a little bit higher. So it's a projected 3.4% than the original 3.1 they said it would be. So online and other non-store sales, which are included in the overall figure, are expected to increase 7%. To 10% year over year, rather than the 6-9% that they previously forecasted. Retail sales in the first half of 2016 performed at a solid pace, growing close to 4% on a year over year basis, according to NRF calculations, which exclude automobiles, gasoline stations, and restaurants. NRF expects gross domestic product to grow between 1.9% and 2.4%.
That's a good story compared to usual.
I know. I feel like we're like the doom and gloom, broadcasters.
But usually things are like, getting lower percent sales and stuff. So this is good.
It's good. It's good. And it's good. You know what makes it even better is the fact that the holidays is coming. So if they're projecting this, then that means that we should have good holiday season, right? So fingers crossed.
This is also good news, and I'm super excited about this. Mm-hmm. Amazon and the British government have announced a partnership to test the e-commerce giant's aerial drone parcel delivery. And I've seen it on Facebook.
Did you?
I don't know if it was Amazon.
I've heard people talking about it.
But mm-hmm. I've seen drones deliver drinks to people on the beach,
mm-hmm.
which is super cool. You just place an order on your phone, and
that's
the drone
so
comes with the drinks and just drops them off.
I need a vodka and salsa.
And it literally does. It's so cool.
No, they didn't drop it.
I wish. And so Bloomberg, they reported that Amazon's trying to reduce its dependence on logistics companies like UPS, FedEx, those normal shipping companies. So they're, trying to move forward with drone delivery, which would be super awesome. And in a statement, Amazon said the UK is charting a path forward for drone technology that will benefit customers, industry, and society. And so I guess this is a big thing in the UK compared to the US.
Yeah.
So
I think they're testing it out there. For whatever reason, I don't know if they didn't get approval to do the testing here. So, they're doing it out there. And I guess if it's a success, then, I can say vodka and salsa and it will appear.
Yes.
I don't know. We could try. Okay, so the 2016 Lord & Taylor Fashion Oracle Award will be presented to Andrew Bolton, curator in charge at the Costume Institute at the Metropolitan Museum of Art at Fashion Group International's Night of Stars to be held on October 27th this year at Cipriani Wall Street. Bolton is responsible for curating the Met's current exhibition, Manus Ex Machina. Is that how it's pronounced? Manus Ex Machina.
It's like the combination of the two things. Basically.
Oh, so is it Manus?
And I think it's like by.
By, okay. I don't know. I'm always screwing these things up, people.
I see the ads for it like all over New York.
Oh, have you? I haven't. When I read this, I was like, oh, this is really cool. It intrigued me, but I've not seen it. So, okay. So, anyways. Manus Ex Machina, or Machina, I don't know how it's pronounced, fashion in an age of technology, and also curated the record-setting Alexander McQueen's Savage Beauty exhibition. Previous Oracle winners were have included fashion editors like Glenda Bailey and Deborah Needleman and singer Justin Timberlake. Pretty cool.
Yeah, those exhibitions have been super popular, too. Yeah. I know the other one that you mentioned, the Alexander McQueen one.
Right, I'm really familiar with that. But this, I the one that I can't seem to pronounce correctly, the Machina or Machina. Listen, guys, I have a degree in English, okay? Don't make fun of me. I've not heard of that one, but it all sounds great. Yeah.
And now for must-attend events, the Global Citizens Festival is coming up this September. It'll be September 24th at 2 p.m. And it's set to bring in a whole army of citizens to the Great Lawn in Central Park, a huge space, so perfect for an event like this. And so headlining the festival this year will be Rihanna, Kendrick Lamar, ooh, Selena Gomez, Major Lazer, and Metallica. So super huge names. And then also guest performances by Usher, Coldplay's Chris Martin, Ellie Goulding, Eddie Vedder, Yandel, and Yusuf Cat Stevens. And it'll be hosted by Chelsea Handler, Hugh Jackman, Neil Patrick Harris, Seth Meyers, a bunch of names that you guys have probably all heard of. And so if you want to see any of those people, like whether they're hosting, singing, it'll be a super cool event. You can get your ticket at globalcitizen.org.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Sounds fun. Maybe we can meet you there. All right. So we are going to jump into our very next segment, Girl Talk. See you there.
Eclad is a boutique for luxurious handmade goods. From jewels to leather to fashion accessories, our merchandise is 95% handcrafted, made from the finest of materials from across the globe. Exceptional and brilliant quality is the absolute standard here at Eclad. The majority of the items we carry are one of a kind and completely unique, with only a limited number ever produced. Our collection is diverse, offering you a plethora of accoutrements to select from. The decor of our boutique is both contemporary and elegant, a unique fusion of an exclusive and indulgent shopping experience coupled with New York's social scene and lifestyle. We invite you to come experience our 57th Street Oasis. But if you're not in New York, just head over to eclad.com for your one-of-a-kind, beautiful, artistic find. And remember, love life and wear it well.
Okay, guys, we are back with Girl Talk. I'm Casey Bonet.
And I'm Kaylin Berg.
And today, we're just two of us today. Both Sarah and Arafili are out today. They're sick, and you know they'll be back next week, as usual, to join us for the usual Girl Talk. But for today, Kaylin and I are going to do our thing. Okay, so on today's Girl Talk, I have picked the subject. You know, every week one of us girls have a topic, and my topic today is the controversy around the Miss Florida, the pageant, and Miss Florida losing her crown 24 hours after winning. Okay, so I'm gonna read you what, you know, was in the news, and then we'll take it from there. So, beauty pageant contestant Genesis Davila was stripped of her title as Miss Florida USA 2017 less than 24 hours after it was awarded to her on July 23rd. Davila violated the competition rules by using a professional makeup and hairstylist, according to the organizers. And this is what the organizers said. "We have a zero tolerance policy on rules," Gravitt told Local 10 in Miami. "Whether it's something major or minor, it's all about keeping an equal and level playing field. Unfortunately, our title holder sought an unfair competitive advantage, and that's just not acceptable in our system. She made a poor life choice." Yes, she made a poor life choice.
A little harsh.
Okay. So, I know. What do you thought?
I didn't even know you weren't allowed to use professionals.
I didn't know either.
It, like, makes sense, I guess. But, I mean, I could see where you get a professional. It isn't fair to someone who's doing it themselves and isn't as talented as doing their hair and makeup. Like, I have friends, family who do not know how to put on makeup.
So. Yeah, I'm one of them. But
you can also get trained by a professional and then go do it yourself.
Yeah.
So if she was so concerned about that, she should have just learned from her professional friend or whoever was on her team.
Oh, maybe she didn't make anything of it. Like, maybe she didn't really think it was that huge of a deal. I mean, I'm going to assume so if she's going to, like, you know, hire someone to do this for her.
Yeah.
But is the penalty or the action or the consequence, you know, does it really warrant her, like, being, I guess, overthrown or dethroned.
Yeah,
dethroned. I don't know. I mean,
she says she was innocent. I read that. She said that this was all made up, but they had some proof that her team, her, like, glam squad, was in her room when they weren't supposed to be. So, I don't know. She thinks she's innocent, but everyone says otherwise. Mm-hmm. If I was in the competition and someone else had professionals doing their hair and makeup and I did it myself, I would be upset.
Of course you'd be upset, yeah.
So maybe it is fair.
You know what? I totally understand. I do get that. You know what? It is a competition. Everyone should be playing on a level playing field, and we should all have, you know, access to the same things and the same tools so that we can all, you know, do our best to compete, right? Without the assistance that we're not supposed to have. I get it, right? But I feel like, okay, it's a pageant. It's like, it's not, you know, if she won, I mean, first of all, I thought these pageants are about more than just makeup and beauty.
Oh, yeah, there's other components, like the question and just how you walk and your general gracefulness.
Right. So, I mean, obviously she won because she must have, like, you know, she must have excelled in all those other areas.
She didn't win because she had nice hair and makeup.
Right. And so that's how I'm kind of viewing it. I'm like, okay, there's this one thing. Yes, it's wrong. I get it. But, you know, there were all these other aspects that she obviously excelled at, and she did well enough for them to, like for her to even be placed as a finalist, then to even win. So could they not, like, I don't know, give her a slap on the wrist? I don't know, pay a fine of $200 and, you know, pass go or however. I don't know how that goes. I don't know if it warrants a dethroning.
Yeah, or even, like, if they, like, switched it and made her the runner-up or something.
At least
it wasn't, like, completely
humiliating.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, guys, so let us know what you think. What are your thoughts about this situation? I think that she should not be dethroned, and Kaylin thinks that she should be dethroned. I think that she should just have a slap on the wrist, and you feel like it was unfair, and she should be kicked to the curb. So let us know what your thoughts are. Feel free to hit us up on social media, and even link us here on YouTube, and let us know what your thoughts about the situation is. But until we meet again, remember, guys, love life and wear it well. See you next time.
Engage in style and perform in elegance at eClad's Hidden Gem Gallery and Event Space. eClad's Hidden Gem is an 1,100 square foot venue in Manhattan's premier Midtown East neighborhood that blends both contemporary style and elegance to create a sophisticated events venue. eClad's Hidden Gem provides an intimate, luxurious, and exquisite setting. It hosts everything from cocktail receptions, bridal showers and parties, to pop-up shops and product launches, art shows, photo and video shoots, and corporate style conferences, seminars, and presentations at an affordable price. eClad's Hidden Gem is located at 122 East 57th Street, New York City, 10022. If you're looking for a beautiful yet affordable venue for hire, then eClad's Hidden Gem is your venue of choice. Head over to y-cladshiddengem.com, email us at hiddengem@y-clad.com, or simply give us a call at 212-644-6445 and rent eClad's Hidden Gem today. Make it what you want. eClad's Hidden Gem.